Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remind you how to join us with a talk guest every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or SFU On Call, or Starfleet Universe On Call, you will find us there. And of course, if you want the best online experience, then you want to go to twitch.tv. Yes, twitch.tv. twitch.tv/SFU On Call, and you will find us there. And you can watch my wonderful face live. You can join us in the chat room and talk about what I'm talking about or something else. I don't control the chat room. They can talk whatever they want. But moving onward and forward, my contact information is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter. The podcasting account is sfuoncall. Also, my personal account is Paul Franz. It's PAUFRNZ. There is no T in that. And of course, Franz Games. Again, there's no T in Franz. I'm sure you know how to spell games. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. When it comes to ADB this week, it's pretty quiet. Not hearing anything at the moment. The last thing, as reported last week, was, of course, the increase in cost for the physical product. And also, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, which was, of course, I queried Steve Cole about, even if they don't ship counters for the latest and greatest FedCom module, could you at least sell cards? Whatever it costs, I'll buy it for whatever it costs. If it's triple the cost than previously, I'll buy it for triple the cost. Because I really want those ship cards, the physical ship cards. What I'll probably be doing is I'll probably be looking into that and see how much it costs for me to create my own cards. And of course, the tough part is, will they actually print them out at Staples? Because that's where I probably use it. I got to check to see if they have card stock. And then, of course, if they have card stock, then you have to do seal that, and which is going to be, I don't know how much that's going to cost me. Probably, actually, usually the cost per cut. Don't ask, because I have no clue. This was many, many years ago. That it was like $1 per cut or something. I figured it was something outrageous. But anyway, moving on, the SFB Online Tournament, which is a Sapphire Star 13 tournament, which has two games that are completed. My game has only gotten to the end of turn three. That is a game that's going definitely differently than I had expected to go. It might be a very, very, very long game. Don't know. The tough part is going to be, of course, the Hell Wars that the Wax has when Auxiliary BC. That's the abbreviation. But moving onward, the latest online client version of the client has not been released, in theory, because of the issue with Mac, and I have to get back to it and actually work on getting it all happy-dory for the Apple people. And moving onward, when it comes to library report, there's nothing really to report there. I did update some of the Learn library on the SFB library. I think I got an email from Matt possibly yesterday, maybe today. I saw it when I was preparing for this podcast, but I hadn't had time to actually read it. Lord knows, I get so many emails, I really don't have time to read them all. That's why my inbox is inundated with emails, and I usually delete around 90% of them. But anyway, when it comes to FedCom Library, there's nothing new there. We probably will be doing that with the gunboats. I need a reply actually to Chris Newsy, because he sent me the first one, and it looked good from my perspective. I had not actually tried to create a ship definition from that image, but you know, and I replied to him. So with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one with Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, you got me, you got Jeff, Doug's
Hi,
having
everybody.
Some technical difficulties. Okay, oh, come on. Don't mind me. I'm trying to... Okay, cool. Now I got myself live. Okay. And can I maximize the screen? Oh, crap. There. That could be really bad. Because I had this...
yeah.
Did you hear it? Did you hear it?
I did hear it.
Yeah. Because I can... You can
about
get
2 seconds delayed.
Right. And you can easily hear a feedback loop, too. If I let it go, I'm sure it will get caught in a feedback loop. Maybe not just because of the how large the delay is, but the echo will probably drive people unmistakably nuts. Because I actually did that for... I was recording one of my podcasts at Origins, and I had it's called a Zoom X... OOM, a Zoom, that I was using that for recording, but also I connected up the monitor, which has like a 5 second delay on what it captures.
Mm-hmm.
That was difficult, but I got used to it. I got used to the idea of hearing myself and hearing the same thing echoed like 5 seconds later. And that which worked fine, but because I still wanted that monitor in there so I knew what I was recording. What did it sound like when I was recording? And that, you know, that helped out a tremendous amount by having that little monitor. So that's nice. I still have the Zoom. I screwed up. Which is, it's so old now I don't think I can get the upgrade. Because there's an upgrade that I need to actually be able to connect it to my Mac. You have to upgrade the firmware to actually connect to my Mac. This is pretty old at this point. I think it's over 10 years old now. So, I had an opportunity many years ago, then I didn't take it. But
that's the way that works sometimes.
Yeah. But anyhow, moving onward and forward. And forward is what? What was in the past? Big surprise. apparently that's what it is, isn't it? But I figured we only got 3 turns in from my game, which was done last night against John Wrigley.
I only got 2 in against On Mine against Peter, so
yep,
I know what you mean.
I noticed that. I did not play until I could not play anymore. I kind of did. I it wasn't like, okay, go and then go to bed. It's like, no. I needed some downtime between we got off and I headed to bed, which was going to be into like half an hour or 45 minutes after we got offline. So I was like, okay, that's where you ended at turn 3, end of turn 3. Good. Now, I wanted to talk about that really quickly. At least that's the first topic. And that is... I know John Wrigley wrote up a quick synopsis. There are certain things that he missed in the details that I thought were kind of just nice to know. He mentions that he had a drone swarm. Now, the one thing he didn't mention, which was how the game started. You know, because as we discussed last week, I was wondering whether I should go right in for the middle and meet him there, or I should go for a corner dodge and let him come to me. Well, he didn't give me much choice. Because what he did an offside corner dodge, i.e. instead of turning right to go to the closest corner, he turned left going towards the farthest corner. So it kind of... He gets in theory, gets closer to me. But, you know, he still ran right across the wall. And he was going pretty slow. He was going speed 15 to start out the game. So he's going really slow. And this, it's like, okay, why are you going? I'm thinking to myself, why are you going so slow? Still haven't figured that one out. I think he went so slow because he was hoping to hit he had the reinforcement on a shield, which to me is still kind of weird. But that's the way it is. Okay, but he went along the sides, and as I approached, what he did, he started launching pairs of drones. And here's the weird part to me. And that is, and he didn't mention this in his post, and that is when he launched them in sets of two from each of the pairs of drone racks. Now, that's fine. One direction E, the other one direction D. So they were always spreading themselves out. So when I got close enough, you know, I'm around range 9 or 10, I think it was 9. His drones are getting really close. And I know if I go straight ahead, they're going to hit me. So, I try to knock down the two front drones. And let me go back. Just one minor thing. And that is that one thing I did notice also. What the heck? Okay. I'm recording, right? I'm streaming. Okay. You're hearing me. Go away. Someone chatting, someone posting a chat room, you know, spammer. But anyway.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So he does this in, you know, for three impulses in a row, launches two drones. So what ends up happening, it ends up being a kind of, I call it a cloud of drones. So you got six drones and six individual hexes. So it's just this moving cloud of drones. They're not stacked. They're just a cloud of drones, which to me is weird.
It does seem an odd choice. It'd be interesting to talk to him about why he chose that methodology after the battle's complete.
Oh, agreed. Now, I knocked out the two. I unfortunately get into range 8 on impulse 32. Was it 32? No, 31. I think it was 31. I blast him range 8. Not the greatest in the world. Not bad, not great. When it comes to my three shield crackers, one hit. But they didn't hit any reinforcement, so I was encouraged. Then I fired four overloaded PCs and six phaser ones. Because I figured it out, and I definitely could keep out of range of the drones. I could basically sideslip and turn and be run away from it and not get hit by the drones. So I didn't have to use my phasers for the drones that much. I wanted to kill the front two so I can get a little closer, but didn't need to do that. Anyway, I wasted four phaser threes at range two, and I killed one drone, didn't kill the other one. But those were the first two drones, big surprise. But anyway, you know, I hit him. Actually, I get two internals. It's like, yay, two internals. And I get cargo, drone. So I went, cool, drone. I got a drone box. So that's six drones. Oh, sorry, either four or five
it was
drones.
Five then.
Well, four or five drones are gone. Yeah. Most probably it's five. Because I can't imagine actually destroying a drone wreck that has a Type 4 drone.
Not when you've got others to buffer it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The only reason I can imagine ever doing that is if you want to save the extra drone. Because what happened actually is the next turn, at the end of turn two, he actually repaired that drone rack. Obviously, it's a drone an A rack versus a B rack, but it's still a drone rack. And
I thought all the tournament racks, except for the Zenti, were B racks, and the Zenti has a pair of C racks.
No.
And opposed to go with their pair of B racks. I thought otherwise they were all B racks.
They're all B racks.
The Fed who's got a G rack.
Yeah, they are B racks except for the Fed, which has a G rack. But the thing is, you can repair it as a drone A rack. It's like repairing a Phaser 1 as a Phaser 3.
Right. Downgraded hasty repair.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't replace the drones. The drones are gone.
Right.
But it gives you another piece of Hellbore armor, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Now,
in his case.
Yep. Now let's get onward to turn two. Because basically, I came in, I started slow around speed 17, then I sped up to speed 28 on turn one. So I was able to get to range 8 on 31, turned on 32, so I ended up around range 9, I think. It was 8 or 9, I forget which. But okay, turn two, he's chasing me, and I'm doing my best. I finally end up after I turn to the left, and I went across the board, and then I turned down. I went down as far as possible. The idea being that I'm hoping that he'll turn to direction D and get a down shield facing me. Unfortunately, he never did that. I ran out of room, and I had to turn in to go along the bottom of the board. And by that time, then he could turn to actually direction D and make sure his shield number 2, which I knocked down, was not ever facing. So, So I was always facing shield number 1. So I'm keep on running around the bottom of the board. You know, I made sure I had my speed high enough so that I stayed ahead of the drones and him. So lowest speed I was going to like speed 25. So I was booking. Then turn 3, okay, I start turning, and so he gets to around range 3. That's where he fires not 2 Hellbores, but 1 Hellbore. Which makes me wonder of either it's a tactic, or it is purely a power move. Meaning, you know, he's trying to save power, so he's actually only charging 1 Hellbore at a time. Because I have a hard time, or he wants to have it so that he'll fire 1 Hellbore every turn, possibly. I'm just shocked that he only fired 1 Hellbore. Because to me, that means either tactically he wanted to only fire 1 Hellbore, or 2, he didn't have the other one fully charged. Because it's not like he wasn't in overloaded range or anything like that. And also, turn 1 and turn 2.
Let me think about this for a moment. Yeah. Okay, turn 2. One thing he did do turn 2 is he fired his 4 phaser 1s at me. Got 1 point of damage against my shield number 24. Actually, was it 1 or 2? I think it was 1. He rolled awfully for his phaser 1s at range 6 to 8. So I was like, okay, great. But the thing is, now he's got a shield which has got a dent in it. So unless I decide to, to reinforce, then, in that case, if I reinforce, then I could hold it, so I can understand why you might not want to fire his Hellbores, because of not a big enough dent
to allow that shield to be the focus of the Hellbore damage. So, you know, but, you know, come around the turn three, I come around in front of him. So he gets to hit that shield number five again. The 23 point number five. He finally gets it down to, he fires the phaser once again and gets, I'm thinking about this, around, I forget, I think it was like 10. I think it might have been 10. Not 10. I was down to like 8 boxes. Is that right? No, I was down to less than that. I think it was 4. Yeah, 4 boxes. He got me 4 on turn 2. Then on turn 3, he fired his phaser once. And then, you know, with Hellbore as the second option. So he got, like, it was around 5 internals, I think. It was like 7 internals. Yeah, 7 internals. Because I looked at it and went, okay, if I use my batteries to reinforce that shield, I'm still going to take internals. So I'll just think, you know, I'll save my energy, take the chance on that, and I don't reinforce. So, yes, I know I just gave away a little bit of what's happening internally to my ship. Whatever. But, you know, so he gets 7 internals, and he gets pretty much padding, except for he hit a shield, got knocked out a shield cracker, knocked out a phaser 3, and that's it. Now, the thing is, I've got to figure out how to, the problem is he got shield number 5, so he's chasing me, so shield number 5 is going to be hard to keep out of his, out of arc of him as he's chasing me. So that's going to be interesting, because that's around where we ended turn 3. And I have to look. I don't remember where we ended up. I think I got it so that I'm out of his FA arc because of, you know, but also I forgot to mention one thing. The drones, all the 5 drones are still running around chasing me. After 2 turns, they're still chasing me. So, to say the very least, John has got quite a few drones still available. He's still got, at the very least, 5.
He could have as many as 30 still in the rack. No, not right. 30. 25 still in the racks.
Yeah, because it's...
No, not 25. 20 still in the racks.
36 minus 6.
He's got 6 racks. He's lost 1.
Right.
And there's 5 in the rest. A maximum of 5 in the rest. So 5 times 5 is 25 drones left in inventory.
Right. And probably minus...
Plus he's got 6 on... What? Would you say 5 or 6 on the board still?
5. So he hasn't. So to say the very least, when it comes to seeking weapons, this might be a long game.
It's hard to plasma ballet is easy, drone not so much, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Oh, understood. Yeah, the big thing for me when it comes to the drones is that, given the way I'm playing it, I am not going to be running out as drones. You know, I don't think I can continue playing with in this fashion where I'm just running away from the drones. I don't think I can keep that up. The only reason I don't think I can keep it up is because of, that means we're going to be playing like, that means I have to survive like 15 turns to have him run out of his drones. And the question is, can I?
And that's provided he obliges you with launching drones as soon as the old ones drop off.
Right. Exactly. And at the moment, the thing is, he has no reason to drop tracking on the current drones. Yes, Kitty.
No, I don't see that he would. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're forcing you to adjust your maneuvering to his benefit, not yours.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's actually Doug in the chat room. But just mentioning the 15 turns means the drones you destroyed are in one rack. No. That means that your number of additional waves of drones, because we figured he's going to do a full wave of drones each time he gets the opportunity. Yes, what is it, Kitty?
Yeah, if he throws a full salvo, even over a couple of impulses, every time he's got a full clean slate, there'll be 5 full salvos in total. So that's 15 turns to run all 5 salvos out. And that's, again, presuming, of course, he decides to oblige by always keeping drones on the board, which is by no means a reasonable conclusion to make. He's in a position with his advantages that there might not be a reason to keep that going. But
agreed.
Again, that's one of those things we need. It would be interesting to talk to him about after this gets decided.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. I definitely want to have a little discussion. Like, hey, why did you do such a? Why did you do what you did? You know, because of. It's definitely something I did not expect, you know.
Judging by the way Peter wrote up our 2 turns, I think he's got a question or two for me like that.
Yeah, but same time. Hold on, I got to put you down. Sorry, oh, my arm is starting to hurt. Zuko is a kitten, but he is getting to be a cat. Please. But anyway, yeah. So everybody's really going forward, you know, I can't continue this. So obviously the one thing I'm gonna have to do my best is try to stay out of FA Arc so that I can stay out of his Hellebores, because of now I got a down shield. Even if I repair like a box or two on that shield, still most of the damage is going to go right through that shield.
Yep.
So, you know, I can reduce the number of boxes, but not by that much. And that assumes I use all my, you know, either all my reserve power or, you know, additional reinforcement. Chris knows they say, oh, I vote for the cat as a co-host. That would be fine if Zuko was the co-host. The only issue is where he wants to be. And I can only hold him up for so long. Yeah, that's a goofball.
Well, he is a cute and fuzzy quality assurance manager, if nothing else.
Yes, he is. Mwah. Yes. Okay. But anyway, so that's how it's going, you know. As I said, thing is, again, as I mentioned last week, it's not like I can chase him. I can't really chase him, because if I chase him, he's just going to launch drones while I'm chasing him, and I'll just be hoping that I knock down all the drones with my phasers. Or, you know, start taking the drones, you know, one at a time, or some, you know, start using my shields using the drones, which is not a really good situation. And of course, then he has his 360 degree phaser ones and his 3 phaser threes that face backwards. know, because of
if it turns to trying to chase him down, he'll phaser boat and lob just enough drones at you to make you wonder, should I veer off or should I do something else? And not enough to keep you from going, yeah, we're going to do something else. Yeah, no, that's a the Oxbox has that really odd niche of you're not ever going to be able to depend on heading it even once.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can pull the old drawbridge trick, but at the same time, it's got such decent arcs on its phasers, and it's got an excess of movement energy that you can turn around and you can phaser boat with it.
Yeah. True. And of course, another issue that I have is, of course, what's the down shield? Shield number two. So if I get in the arc of shield number two, most probably I'm going to be in arc of those Hellbores.
Yeah.
So that is an issue. Of course, one of those questions I have right now is just, where did all that energy go? First turn, where did all that energy go? I mean, I didn't hit the brick. I have expected to hit the brick. Just for a plain simple reason of how he played it.
It could very well be he misinterpreted when you'd make the turn for the battle pass and he put the brick on the wrong shield.
Yeah. Or he thought I was going to focus on shield number one, maybe. You know, he thought what it might do, and I definitely did not want to do this, because I mentioned this last week, which is I did not want to turn in front of him so that he was chasing me from that way. You know, that not a good situation. So it's possible he reinforced shield number one. That's where he put the brick, and it didn't work out because I got on shield number two. Of course, and then there is the ultimate question. Well, okay. Of course, the thing is with the first turn. Shield number two obviously had no reinforcement at all. Nothing pre-allocated, at least. Because otherwise,
right,
it would have been hit by the shield cracker. You can't say, oh, I'm not going to let it hit my shield reinforcement. No, you can't. It's there. You have to. So, and I'd have to look at the logs. I really have to look at the logs to see if he actually spent four. I'm assuming, because of... It's only two internals. I'm assuming he actually used his reinforcement, you know, used his reserve power to reinforce the shield, so he only had 2 points of internals. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right, because I got four, and then I got another 33. And then I got two internals. So that makes sense. So, well, we're all set to get together on Wednesday again, because the funny part is next 2 days, today and tomorrow, he's busy. Even though he's retired, he's busy. Of course, I was busy tonight. I'm definitely busy tomorrow night. Also, I'm gone this upcoming weekend, which reminds me, I have to send an email out to my warlord people and go, turns not going to be processed till Monday. Sorry. It is what it is. Now, Monday, I got to do Starfleet Warlord stuff, so I don't have time to do it. Tuesday is his wife's birthday, so we're back to next time we can play. It's actually Wednesday night again. So
that's kind of like the troubles Peter and I have been having trying to make our schedules mesh up.
Understood. Yeah, one thing I actually should do Tuesday? I should have time Tuesday. Which is sit down and get it so that I can officially release the latest version of the online client. Because I've already, honestly, I have actually already uploaded those, the clients for Linux/BSD, you know, Unix, whatever. And I've uploaded the updated version for Windows. This is the full version. This is not updates to the files themselves. I have not done that. I preemptively did that, and I was working on getting the Mac, and then I ran into an issue because of the dark theme that I have for the client. Unfortunately, for the Mac, it contains binaries, and those binaries then have to be signed for Apple to be happy. So I got to see what I can do, and hopefully. Actually, the funny thing is, I could have sworn I ran the same issue last time I tried to release the product. I thought I remembered that, something like that, and that's why I had to pull it from the client. So, I'll see if I might just say, you know, I might have to update, do a quick update from the Mac, and go, okay, for a Mac, you can't do dark. You can't use the dark theme, but all the rest, you know, Windows and Linux and so forth, you can actually use dark mode. So, well, dark theme is what it is. Looks nice.
Right.
The dark theme looks pretty nice, though. There's certain things I don't like about it, which is because it's dark, you know, like the EAs, it's hard to see the columns as much, you know. I'm hoping, you know, that I'll release it next week, because I don't know what it is. When I say I'm about to release a product, it seems like people then start putting requests like, "Oh, can you fit this in? Can you fit this in?" It's like, no. At this point, no. You'll have to wait for the next update. You know, like some of the requests have already come in from. Who was it? I think was it Chris? Who posted it on, I think it might have been Chris. It was Chris or Frank, I forget which. On the Discord server. Said, oh, you know, it'd be good to actually be able to turn off the trails, you know, that I added on a per ship basis. It's like, well, that's something that we'll just have to look into in the future because I didn't do it. I don't plan on doing it. I want response back first from people on it before I touch it.
Now that's reasonable.
Yeah. Because at the moment, the one thing I did, which I think is a good idea, which is I limit the number of hexes to 20. So you only see a trail for your last 20 moves, which actually, that's one thing I wanted to bring up. Because I actually used, of course, the updated client. Big surprise, because I'm the developer. Oh, shocker. And because I used the updated client, I got to see the trails actually in action. You know, used actually in a game. And,
lucky.
Yeah, it was nice. It helped me definitely some. I agree with that. I got to see where he came from, you know, where he was moving to and so forth. But for me, the one actually real benefit, well, and I didn't even really expect this, which is following the trail, you can see, you know, the jiggy jaggedy of side slips. So it makes it easier without looking at your side slip counter when you side slipped.
Yeah.
So, to me, that was definitely an unexpected benefit to it. I have to look at updating the JDK a little bit. I'm not sure. I can do that or not. I have to change libraries and things like that because of there's certain things that does not work with the latest version of the JDK. And so I had to back out to version 11 I had to find Microsoft's because Oracle didn't have it. I don't think there was an open JDK for the Mac, for the M1 Mac, that I could actually use. So I need JDK 11. Actually, that was the weird part. When I first got together, it's like I totally forgot to degrade the Mac to use a version 11, JDK 11 instead of JDK 17 for Java, to actually have it so it will actually play with other people. So, minor thing. I realized that when we started the game, I didn't see him. I'm not sure if you saw me. And I said, John, can we restart real quick? Because we hadn't started, no EA, no nothing like that. But we had already discussed, okay, is it going to be call Pia or C4F? We went for Pia, Pure Impulse Activity, for those who don't know what that acronym means. And he wanted the top. And I said, fine, I'll take the bottom. Which is, that's unusual, because invariably, people like the bottom, because of left is left and right is right.
Probably, it's probably because the quick buttons for navigation don't require you to twist your mind around to make sure you're not clicking the wrong button when your ship is coming down the map.
Yes, you do. In my mind, you do because of if you have a numeric keypad.
I mean, if you're at the bottom of the map, moving up.
Right.
Those quick nav buttons work mm-hmm. work one for one. But if you're coming down the map, you've got to twist things around to make sure you're not flipping your left and your right.
Yep, that's why I was surprised when
makes you think about it a second.
Yeah. Oh, that's why it made me surprised that John wanted the upper part of the map instead of lower. I'm used to being at the top of the map. I'm used to doing those kind of aesthetics. You know? Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta do it. No problem. I'm more than happy to oblige whatever the other person wants. You know, if it's call for fire, I dislike it, but that is the rule. The rule is that if one of the persons playing the tournament wants to play call for fire, it's call for fire. But if both people agree, use pure impulse activity, then you can use that. And we both agreed on pure impulse activity, boom. And I was like, awesome.
So what's the difference between the two modes?
Two modes is a call for fire. You, in the DizDev section, the DizDev segment, you say call for fire. And then you announce your fire. Which,
okay.
To me, it's a metagaming aspect. It's basically telling your opponent that you want the possibility to fire. Do you have to fire? No, you don't. And then you get in these whole mind games because of that. You get in the mind games going, oh, I call for fire. Oh, I'm not firing. You know? I have.
That seems. Yeah, that seems. That seems wastefully meta.
Yeah. Oh, crap. That's why. Hold on for a moment.
Recording started.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. I think I hit the button on TalkShoe. but of course, the thing is, now that makes sense.
And what, it could very well, yeah.
That makes sense now why Dave said no TalkShoe tonight.
Yeah.
Yep. Did not realize that.
Well, hopefully you didn't lose the audio up to this point.
No.
Because as I look at the TalkShoe screen, the timer is at 53 minutes and change, and it's got a red background, and it didn't earlier.
Right. That makes me wonder if it has been recording this whole time. It just hasn't been. It might not just has not been broadcasting it, because that's one of the things that's an option, which is you can broadcast the audio, and you have to explicitly select that when you start recording. But to me, it doesn't matter because of the reason why I record on TalkShoe at all. One, obviously, is people can listen to it. That's the one thing. The other thing is that I have a backup recording just in case something happens, like, oh, I lose the internet, or worst case, somehow my computer just dies in the middle of it. You know, it shuts down or whatever, and I lose my side of the recording. I still have a recording. It's a poorer quality of a recording, but it's still a recording. Because actually, I've done that for at least, I think, definitely one, if not two, of my podcasts where there was something wrong with a local recording. I'm not sure what. In one case, I think it actually, the recording software died, it crashed. Another one, it recorded garbage. A lot of times when it records garbage, if it records garbage, then it's usually garbage all around, and it's usually an issue with the mic itself. Because I've had that happen multiple times where it's like cylining. Like it's worse than that. It's just, you can't even tell that I'm talking, you know.
It probably just overdrove the mic, and all you have is clipped waves.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And the only solution is to restart the computer. And that solves the problem. Actually, that was for a while there. After that happened, I actually was restarting the computer like the day of that. I was doing TalkShoe. Did that for a while, and then I never did it. I stopped doing it, and I haven't had problems. I'm sure I'll start doing it again if I ever have problems again. Excuse me. Though, hopefully, it'll be more recognizable, because now what I'm doing, as was pointed out by Chris Newsy, which is now I actually record the news portion. I recorded the video for it. So now I have the video and audio for the news portion, which I record like anywhere between 15 minutes and half an hour before I start the program. So yes, I am.
I like this too, because I get an email from Twitch that you're on the air. That reminds me that we're about to do the call-in section of the show. So I can hurry up and not miss it this time.
Understood. Yeah, actually, I don't record it on Twitch. I actually record it locally on using OBS, and I am pretty cognizant of this, which is I still record both audios. I don't take the video and strip out the audio. I just record the audio separately. So I have two recordings of the audio. One is for the video, and one's actually a separate audio recording, which I trust a lot more. And I feel like the recording for the through Audio Hijack, you know, the audio only recording has better quality. Though I'm sure you hear it, which is it's very echoey. And I have to figure that out, because I'm sure that makes my sound quality just suck. Because I was listening to it. That was actually funny. For those of you who briefly watch me, and that means you'll never listen to this. On YouTube, I got a report. Was it last? I think it was last week. Yeah, I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was last week, where they went, "Oh, you had like 43 people visiting your website, and they listened to a total of 43 minutes of your videos. It's like, okay, so what's happening is people listen for like a minute and then go, bye, I'm gone. It's like, okay, whatevs.
That sounds like a scraper bot looking for YouTube short videos.
That's possible.
Or TikTok content.
That could be it. It could be also that I'm just, people don't find me that interesting within the first minute.
I didn't want to go there, Paul. I was trying to feed and nurture the ego a little bit.
Understood. But at the same time, I forget the guy's name.
And the man, because then wars continue.
Yes. But as I told him, I said, I'm mainly posting this on YouTube not to get more followers. If people want to follow me, great. I'd love it. You know, you can actually hear my melodious voice, you know, more often. But I don't have a big head to go, I'm not... To say the very least, the whole idea of monetization of my YouTube feed is like, no. I'm not even signed up for it. And even if I did sign up for it, I know for a fact that I would not get any revenue at all because of how few views I get from my videos. I might get like 50 views for a video, you know. I have actually gotten a few which have gone up higher. Big surprise. I had to check the subject matter. It was based on the subject matter that why the numbers went up. Zuko, are you asleep? I can't tell. No, I don't think he is. Okay, but he's looking down. Okay. I'm looking at the playback over here of the camera over there. So. Is it comfy yet? Probably not. Here. Go behind me. But anyway. So. Say really, when it comes to the game, can't wait to see how it all goes. Cause I'm hoping at the moment, if you look at the damage, you look at the ships, and you'll go, we're around even, you know. Personally, I'm behind in my mind because of.
Oh, you started behind too.
Yeah, agreed. Because to me, if I could have, would have been best, and which is if I could have hit a rear shield. Because then if I was chasing him, I could actually hit him. I could hit down shield while that was happening. So the funny part is that he wants me to go around to the left, and I want him to go around to the right. Because down to the left, that means my down shield is facing him. To the right means I have the possibility of getting that number two shield. Actually, yeah. At least a lot easier to get number two shield if we're going around to the right, I think. Yeah, because then he needs to turn more often. So he needs to turn versus, the good thing about actually going around to the left at the moment, you know, on turn two was that, he could not turn. So he could not cut me off. He couldn't turn in early, make the circle early, you know, make an inner circle and have me go around the outer and then him cut me off down below and get even a closer pass.
So then I ended up to my advantage that, you know, the shield number two was down. Anyhow, actually, I think I'm going to wrap it up here because it's usually I close up the show in another 5 minutes, but I don't think I have another topic unless you have something you want to talk about real fast.
Oh, no, that sounds good. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the tournament plays out. I'm in a position where I'm afraid to even talk about what happened with mine because of where we left things off. I've got bad and worse options at the moment.
Right.
And then I've got really stupid. And I haven't decided which way I'm going to go yet.
Well, at the same time, sometimes stupid is smart.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, because of...
It just...
Yeah. What? Okay.
But no, it's.
I don't want you to tell
me. It's one of those things. It's like, okay. It's like, yeah. This would be great. I'd love to brag about it, but only if it works.
Understood. Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jeff, I'll end it here. So you have a good night.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
So, had a nice little discussion about my game, and definitely it should be an interesting one to see if I can stay ahead. And as I said, the big thing is I got a rear shield down, so that makes things more difficult to fight. And, you know, I'm definitely going to be quizzing or asking John, why'd you do that? Which is, you know, it's always a good post-game kind of wrap-up. Okay, you know, what were you thinking? You know, why did you do this? Did you think of this? Did you think of that? You know, and so forth. Which, you know, it helps everyone to be a better player. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.